talk about tonight. We thank God for Brother Hatcher, beautiful prayer and scripture going up on our behalf and going to God, asking God to bless us and to help us. Brother Hatcher, up with our audio and our technology, a fine job, beautiful today. And we just thank God for each and every member that's here with us on this evening to study the Word of God. We are most grateful to the eldership and to the congregation for the opportunity to once again study the good news, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we encourage you to put your Savior on in baptism for the remission of your sins. We encourage you to rededicate your life. We encourage you to come and ask for prayer. We encourage you to come and place membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ. We discourage you from leaving here without being on the Lord's side. You have a great opportunity tonight to be on the Lord's side. And that's what we want to encourage you to do. We will be looking at Psalm 23. 150 Psalms written by David, many of them. But tonight we want to look at a Psalm of David as he talks about the shepherd, the good shepherd. Psalm 23. And as you're finding that, I want you to think about this particular lesson and how important and beautiful it is, because it helps us to go right into 2022 with the good shepherd, God Almighty, leading and guiding us. I want you to know that many of what I will say tonight, many things that I will say will be coming from the book All Stressed Up and Nowhere to Go. All Stressed Up and Nowhere to Go. Written by Dr. David Lane, who is the former minister of the Marcellus Avenue Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. He wrote that book, and I looked at that book, and I thought about what that book had to say, and I thought it was so beautiful that I was incorporating so much of that information in the ministry as I go along through life. And I just liked the way he looked at the 23rd Psalm and summed it up. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And when we think about the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. All I want is for God to be my shepherd. All I want is for the Lord to be my shepherd. And when I looked at this psalm, I always thought the Lord is my shepherd and I don't need anything else. I have everything that I want. I have all the materialistic blessings. I have shoes on my feet. I have clothes on my back. I have the opportunity to have food on my table. I don't want for anything. I have a family, a wonderful family. We're not always in harmony with each other, but we are a family. I have my church family, and I thank God for both families. I thank God that everything I need on the face of this earth, I have. And I shall not want for anything. But then I looked at it the way Dr. Lane was rehearsing this particular psalm. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want, is for God to be my shepherd. I don't want for anything else in this world, but for God to be leading and guiding me and helping me along life's pathway. When I'm down and when I'm out, I want God to bring me back to my full health and strength, the right exercise of my mind, the right activity of my limbs. I need God." You say, well, you have the doctor, you have the nurses, you have the medical profession, you have your family, you have this, you have that. Yes, but they can only go so far, and that's it. When I was unable to walk and to move like I wanted to, I couldn't even go up the hill. It was a short driveway that led up to our mailbox, and I couldn't even go up that driveway to get to that mailbox, and I didn't know what in the world was wrong with me. I just had very little energy. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor was running tests, and he didn't know what was wrong with me. In fact, the doctor was one of the elders at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street, where I was the minister. And as I talked to him, he said, "Well, Brother Crowder, we have one more test that we want to run to see what's going on with you." And he said, but I'm going to send you upstairs to see this doctor." And I said, "Okay, I'll go see the doctor." But he said, wait, before I send you upstairs, I have one more test that I want to run on you." He ran that test, and sure enough, it was my thyroid that was all messed up. He said, I've got the answer, I'm going to take care of you." Well, as I got better and better, and as he diagnosed me with synthroid problems, and he wanted to kill that synthroid, that thyroid, and he gave me synthroid to take all the time, I began to wonder, who was that doctor he wanted me to see upstairs? And he wouldn't tell me. And I just kept pressing him, and finally he told me. He said, "It's our psychiatrist. We thought that there was something wrong with you with all the pressure of being the minister and doing this and doing that and working in the schools. I was going to send you up to the psychiatrist, but you didn't need that. It was your thyroid." All we need is God. God can diagnose our problems better than any doctor. God can relieve us of whatever we are going through, whether it's an emotional problem, a mental problem, a spiritual problem, a physical problem. God can take care of us. "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want, and that is all I need. I have all I need when the Lord is my shepherd." God names himself as the one who is in this particular discourse. Not the one who is supposed to be, and not the one who is becoming. He's simply the God who is. He's in charge of everything. You don't have to worry about who God is. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I don't need anything other than God. By calling the Lord his shepherd, David, the sweet singer of Israel, implies that he considers himself as a sheep. When God is your shepherd, we have to understand that we are sheep. And sheep are not very smart. Sheep are dumb. And you say, "Brother Crowder, are you saying you're dumb?" I'm saying that sheep are dumb and they need to have care for themselves. He wants God, when you look at man, out of our schools. He wants God to no longer be a part of the public school system. And he tells, man tells society that we don't need God. We've got everything we need in the schools. And there are so many different religions and so many different teachings. We just need to take God out of the school. I remember around Christmas time, I began to decorate my door in one of the schools as a teacher. And I was told, no, you can't do that. And then we found out a little later on that we could. But I remember having the opportunity to lead a prayer in a baccalaureate service. And I think I told you that in leading that prayer, they were constantly telling me, "You are offending the Jews by ending it in Jesus' name. You just cannot do that. You can't do that. You can't do that." And I found out that I could, because the Constitution says I can do it. And also the Word of God says that I can do that. You don't deny God. And the senior class that had me to lead that prayer said, "You can do it. You have the right to do so." We all have the right to announce that Jesus in Matthew 10:32, he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 33, you deny me on earth, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Those Jews that were out in that area are offending me by not recognizing Jesus as the Son of God and not wanting to end the prayer in Jesus' name. I have the right to do that by the word of God, also by the Constitution. Just don't ask me to lead prayer anymore if you want me to put God down. When storms come and when shootings occur, we are constantly, Lord God, please help us. Lord God, we're calling upon you. Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. But don't pray in the school. Don't do that. Leave God out. Separation of state and church. We are dumb as a group of people who want to put God out of the public schools until a shooting occurs. As man, we spend more money to defend what we have than on what we have to defend. Money is spent to defend material things than on defending human life. Our rehabilitation system needs overhauling. We need to help individuals who have gone astray to be able to come back into society, certainly if they are released. We need to have a system of justice that investigates deeply what is going on and what has happened and be able to pass sentences that are just and wholesome for as many people as are involved in needing that system. Dr. Lane says, we know smoking kills and too many still light up. Some because of our built-in addiction that were put into cigarettes, chemicals that will cause us to be addicted. Sheep are dumb because we know drinking destroys the body. It warps the will and impairs judgment. And Dr. Lane says, yet some still have a taste for a fifth or for a 40 or just for a little bit here and a little bit there. We have a Bible, but we don't read it. That says that we're dumb. We have a church, but some don't support and do not actually get involved in the work of the church. Simply going to church and that's it. And coming home and that's it. But never picking up on the work of the Lord's church and getting involved with the work of the Lord's church. We have a gospel and we don't share it like we really ought to share it. That's why we are dumb. That's why we are sheep. We have talents that we don't use. A kingdom we want to build. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong. I remember when I was very young, 12 years of age, I said, I want to preach. I had already been buried with Christ in baptism, and the minister heard me say I wanted to preach, and he gave me an opportunity. He said, okay, Brother Crowder, you're 12 years old, but we want you to deliver a message because you want to be a preacher. There were so many people telling me, there's no money in preaching. You don't want to preach, son. Oh, no, son. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. But there were a number of persons encouraging me to speak. And he gave me an opportunity to speak, and I spoke on the creation. And y'all should have been there. It was only about 10 minutes. See, you would have been let out a lot earlier than right now when I speak a little bit longer. But it was a quick sermon. It was a powerful sermon. I enjoyed the sermon, whether they did or not. And I went on to be encouraged to do more for the Lord. Sheep are dumb when they tell you, you don't want to be a preacher. You don't want to be a preacher. And then when they ask you, what are you? And you've got this degree and that degree and you've got three or four doctorates over here and over there. You don't want to announce I'm a preacher. You got to be a lawyer. When I go into places and I have my suit on and my tie on and I'm walking in there, so many individuals have asked me, are you a lawyer? Are you a doctor? Are you this? And I tell them, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher at Jackson Street Church of Christ. I've been there for a number of years. That's what I do. I preach. Well, I had a little more money coming in as a teacher in the educational system, but I still announced to them, I'm a preacher. And they say, okay. Like, that's just something you just don't. Sheep are dumb. They don't realize that we need spiritual guidance a whole lot more than we need any other type of guidance. We know that eating too much fat and too much greasy fried food clogs arteries. We know that too many sweets, when we're not supposed to consume them, will cause us to have diabetes and even go further into diabetic problems. It causes high blood pressure, heart problems, and yet we still indulge. The doctor diagnosed me years ago as being borderline diabetic. And one doctor gave me all kinds of medication as a diabetic. And I was not able to even touch the floor. I was walking and didn't even know that the floor was down here. And I went to a specialist and the specialist said, what's wrong with you? Your blood sugar level is too low. I said, well, I'm diabetic. He said, you're not diabetic. You're borderline. You got to do this and do that so that you won't go into diabetes. But you need to quit taking that medication. And you need to realize that you watch your diet, take a lot of exercise, but leave these pills alone. In fact, you need to go out and get some sweets in your system. I went right out and bought a Shoney's strawberry pie and ate up every bit of that pie. Oh, it was good. My goodness, I got that blood sugar level back up just as high as I could, as quick as I could. And I just do the same thing he told me to do over 30, 40 years ago. And it has helped me all along the way. So I'm not supposed to just sit down and just eat a lot of sweets. But I definitely have to have some. He said, after a big meal, get you some sweets and that will keep your body under control. I am so dumb. I just got to have as much as I can before, in the middle, and after eating. But I watch myself. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 26. Let's look at that just for a minute. Because it lets us know that Paul, when he was speaking to the Gentiles and the Roman brethren, let them know just how unintelligent they were. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness and of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, but understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You're without excuse to not know God and the power of God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, idols, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Serve Satan more than they did God, who is blessed forever. So be it. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. But even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, having the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. In other words, what the Bible is saying is that sheep are so dumb. We are so dumb. Even as a society, we don't understand that God did not make men with men and women with women. And they can't marry. It's against the Bible. It's against even the rule of being able to birth a child into the world. You can't have two men together in a marriage, in a sexual relationship, and produce a baby. You can't do it with two women. Because in the beginning, God created male and female and told them to be fruitful and multiply. Is something wrong with a society that introduces this type of behavior, which God says is unnatural? It's unnatural. It's not what I want. So Paul, speaking to the Gentiles, lets us know that sheep are dumb. We have to have God to help lead us and guide us. And God said, I have to give you a little bit more to help lead and guide you. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to reveal unto you what I'm trying to say. And going to help you to read and study the Bible and apply that which is read. I'm going to have Christ talking to me on your behalf. He's going to be your lawyer. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit speaking on your behalf. He's going to be your lawyer. I'm going to give you two lawyers so that man can be reunited to me. Paul, speaking to the Gentiles, says, not only are sheep dumb, but sheep are defenseless. Most creatures God made have some kind of defense mechanism. Dr. Lane says that the turtle has his shell. The giraffe with his long neck has tremendous perspective. The rhino has his horn. The deer has his antlers. The elephant has tremendous size and strength. A rabbit even has quickness. And everyone knows what a skunk has. But sheep are defenseless. Sheep have no defense mechanism. Sheep walk close to cliffs so that shepherds have to tap on the rocks. And sheep have a keen sense of hearing. And they hear that tapping that the shepherd does with that rod. And as a result of that, sheep are able to stay on those rocky cliffs rather than to fall off because of a good shepherd. If we could just hear the words that are in the Bible, it would help us to quit falling off all the time into so many valleys that make us so defenseless. It would help us to have a mechanism of support that keeps us listening to his word. It's powerful. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The word is quick, it's powerful. Paul told Timothy, you've learned from your mother and your grandmother. You know the truth of the word. It's right there. It's going to help you. It's going to lead you. It's going to guide you. It's never going to take you in the wrong direction. Listen to the shepherd. When we lose our focus, the way to get it back is to refocus. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We need to refocus every now and then. Just come back. Don't keep going in the wrong direction. Like I said this morning, if you keep doing one thing and it's not the right thing, you're going to get the same results. Everything we keep doing, we keep getting the same results. If you want some different results, understand who the shepherd is and ask God to help you to refocus. Sheep are dependent. Bible lets me know. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah knew about sheep. It's not within man that walketh to know which way to go by himself. You say, well, I'm going the right way. I'm going the right way. There are a lot of people in the world who are super rich, who are just great, well off. And you look at them and they are role models. They are held in high esteem. They don't even know God. They don't even know who God is. They don't even know spiritually. They're on their way to hell. But they are held as great people in society. And I could name some of those individuals. And my wife would say, you shouldn't have named them. You can name them too. So I don't have to name them. But when you have people who are dressed immodestly, who are very famous and who have dancing moves that are moves that individuals would have as a married couple, just pronouncing themselves forth, and little girls trying to follow them and men trying to follow them. Don't you know that they are held in the wrong way and they need a shepherd to guide them? Before it's everlasting and eternally too late. We don't need immodesty. We don't need immorality in our lives. We don't need somebody who's pushed up so high that they are high all the time. They're on drugs. They're high. But they are held in such high esteem in society. Drugs are 100% a part of their lives. They need them to wake up. They need them to go to sleep. They need them to function during the day. Yet they are held so high in such great esteem, receive all types of awards, but don't know that they have the one shepherd in their life that could lead them to eternal life. They don't know him. What does a shepherd do? Without a shepherd, we will never find our way, Dr. Lane says, out of the wilderness of sin, the forest of frustration and failure, the deep valley of hopelessness and despair, the dark canyon of guilt and shame. Without a shepherd, Dr. Lane says, we can't lead ourselves out of the wilderness of sin, the forest of frustration and failure, the deep valley of hopelessness and despair, and the dark canyon of guilt and shame. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't allow yourself to lean to your own understanding. Elders are very much needed in the church to help guide the sheep. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Deacons need to assist elders in caring for the work of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. So all I'm simply saying is that we need guidance, even in the Lord's church. And I'm happy to find elders in this congregation. I don't want to be under a congregation without elders, because the Bible lets me know that they're out of order. I didn't say they were sinning. I said out of order. Paul left Titus in Crete to set in order the things that were lacking. And one thing that was lacking was the appointment of elders in every city, in every church. So I'm happy to find congregations that are led by good shepherds. And this is one. What does a shepherd do in Psalm 23? God hears my prayers. It's for his name's sake. In other words, it lifts my Lord. He heals my hurts and he forgives my sin. And when I'm hungry, he's my bread. And when I'm weary, he is my rest. Look at verse number 2 of Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Boy, we need green pastures to lie in. We need comforting things in our lives. We need a source of where we can go and where we can relieve ourselves from some of the burdens that are going on in society. If I'm sick with cancer and they say, Brother Crowder, you have just 1 week to live. I need to come and I need to be in the Lord's house. I need to have been in the Lord's house. I need to stay in the Lord's house. I need to stay in the Lord, because I know that I'm getting ready to put off this physical body. But I'm going to put on a body without blood. I'm going to put on a body without flesh. I'm going to put on a body that's incorruptible. I'm going to put on a body that's going to last forever and ever and ever. And I need to be happy. Some of the happiest moments I witnessed as a minister in the congregation in Nashville were those individuals who were dying on their sick bed and looking up at me and saying, Brother Crowder, is going to be all right. I know where I'm headed. Heaven's going to be my home. My assistant minister, who was up around 90 almost, when he was dying, he was still telling souls, you got to hear the word of God. He didn't even know where he was. He was so sick and dying. So he was right on the verge of making that transition. And he, in his mind, some kind of way, he thought he was talking to somebody who was not a member of the Lord's church. And he was reciting things in a comatose state. You got to hear the word of God. You got to believe what you've heard. And I'm just standing there witnessing at his sick bed, him saying these kinds of things. It was a part of him. His dying was not something that was bad, because he knew who his shepherd was. He heals my hurts. He forgives my sins. He leads me in the paths. Look at that. He leadeth me in to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside quiet, still waters. When I'm weary, he's my rest. When I'm hungry, he's my bread. When I'm sad, he is my joy. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I'm weak, I need the strength to come back to God. When I'm sad, I need the joy and the fellowship of being in the Lord. He restoreth my soul. He gives me great hope, the earnest expectation that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And he leads me to stay in the straight and narrow way. He helps me to just keep on going when that broad and wide way is out there and telling me, just come on, do this and do that. Have you ever gone to the bank? and ask for your check to be cash, and the check's about $40 or $50, and the teller has to sometimes maybe go into the drawer and you say, I want a $50 bill. And the teller goes into the drawer and pulls out maybe 15 $50 bills and just starts searching through there to find you a nice, crisp $50 bill to give to you. And you think about, look at all that money. If I could just get those 15 $50 bills, I'd have $750, and I'm trying to get $50. I'm trying to get 50. She got $750 and right there in that drawer. And then if you want to cash a check for about $500, and they have to say, well, we don't have enough right here. We're going to go over here, and we're going to get that. And they go over there, and man, they go into something, and they bring all that money out. And then you start thinking about all those criminals that you've heard about on television that are so popular and how they used to rob and do this and do that. And you say, if I could just get behind that counter and get some of that money, everything would be all right. It's a little measly $500. They got thousands of dollars right there. And they just keep going through it, going through it. And sometimes someone that's working in there will bring a load of money in his arm or in her arm and bring it and set it down over there. And you just say, oh, my goodness. Well, when you know who your shepherd is, you realize that whatever your check says is enough. And you don't need any more. Leave it alone. Work hard for what you get. And be honest in what you get and what you receive. And God will take care of you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, verse number 4. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I'm sad, he is my joy. When I'm weak, he is my strength. He restoreth my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness so that he can be who he is, God Almighty. When I'm lost, Psalm 23 and verse 4 says, he's my guide. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 23 and verse 5. Sheep like to stick their heads in holes, and as they walk along, sometimes they'll find snakes in those holes. And that's why the shepherd has to grease their head or put oil on their head so that it'll be a defense mechanism against those snakes that are down in the hole. And the shepherd knew something about this. I didn't know anything about that till I read. Why he anointeth my head with oil? That's what the shepherd does to those sheep. And then when they're walking along and they see that hole down there, they stick their head down in the hole and the snake tries to grab them. That oil just makes those snakes slip right off. I'm not saying every one of them, but most of them. The shepherd, the Bible says, rubs the oil as a defense mechanism. And this is what the Bible is saying here in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I'm just getting more and more blessings when I have God as my shepherd. And there's a table that's prepared for me of good things and wholesome things and wonderful things and uplifting things when I'm in the presence of mine enemies. I don't have to worry about the enemy. I don't have to worry about that man or that woman that drives those big, beautiful cars. If you got a big, beautiful car, I'm just hoping that you got it in the right way. They would drive on Jefferson Street, where I was ministering on Jackson Street, I would drive up to Jefferson Street to make my left and my right to go home. And I would see some of the most beautiful cars driving up and down Jefferson Street, up and down Jefferson Street. And if you followed some of them, you would see some of the men and women who were driving stop. And you would see them making deals. unwholesome deals right there on the street corner. I always wonder, how come the police couldn't see that? I can see it. And they go in their back pocket and they take a big old roll of money out. And they got diamonds on their fingers. And I'm thinking, how did they get all of that? Then one day we got a nice car. Got a real beautiful car. New car. New car. Wasn't used. New car. I started rolling down Jefferson Street. And they hollered out as I rolled down Jefferson Street, "Drug man. Drug man." That hurt me so bad. Instead of preacher man, they hollered drug man, because that's the way they associated the richness that they had with people who were selling drugs and were getting richer and richer. God had prepared my richness in the right way and before my enemies. I had a nice car, but I got it in the right way. My wife and I worked hard for it, and we acquired it together, and we were able to enjoy it together and have a clear mind while we were doing it. And I didn't have to look over my shoulder and wonder when I was going to be arrested and how I was going to be arrested and what was going to happen. How God prepared us, and God allowed us to have what we had and to do what we did and to enjoy what we enjoyed, prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, anointing my head with oil, allowing me to have blessings until my cup runs over. And then in verse 6, David says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And you can take that conjunction in out and say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life if I dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Having the Lord as our shepherd allows us to have unspeakable joy. It allows us to have power that's unconquerable. It allows us to have peace unsurpassable. It allows us to have forgiveness unspeakable. And it allows us to have grace undeniable. Joy unspeakable, power unconquerable, peace unsurpassable, forgiveness unexplainable, and grace undeniable. If you need to come to Jesus tonight, you need to make him your shepherd tonight. Come to him. Allow him to rule and govern your life, because he sent Jesus, even foreordained before the world began, to save mankind. And he gives us justice now. That's his plan of salvation, to make it just as if we have never sinned when we accept God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And he allows us to be glorified in the end. 1 Corinthians 15, with bodies that are spiritual and lasting. Come to Jesus tonight. Accept him. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, rising, walking in the newness of life, being added to his church. His church, Matthew 16:13-19. The good shepherd, God, is calling. Why not respond as we together stand and sing the song of invitation?